When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from coast of the Carolinas by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time! Introducing the Fistful of Cash Podcast.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned into the newest edition of the Fistful Cash Podcast. I am your host, Dale Lippin, and I'm flying solo yet again tonight, but that is strictly because it's just been a hellacious week as far as travel goes, and those of you that follow us on Instagram saw the post earlier in the day about us having issues with travel and being able to record and set up and find a decent internet connection and everything else. So we're doing this late Friday evening, and the hope is that you have not lost faith in us and you will use these picks on the upcoming UFC on ESPN Plus card. We usually try to get these out Friday mornings. I know it's a shock. We've missed Tuesday episodes here and there with holidays and stuff like that, but we've never missed a Friday show. So in the spirit of keeping with that, we're going to go ahead and knock out another Friday one. It's a little bit later. Didn't want to throw you guys off. Hopefully you follow us on Instagram. If you don't, this is more motivation to go do so at Fistful of Cash Podcast. So that way you get these up-to-date little pieces of information and things of that nature. So that way you're not sitting there wondering what in the heck happened. But without further ado, let's break down this UFC on ESPN. This is an historic card, first one on ESPN, and it's got a doozy of a main event in TJ Dillashaw taking on Henry Cejudo. We are going to start at the bottom and work our way up to the top. I'm going to give you guys a pick for every fight, and if you don't want to listen to the whole thing, if you go to our Instagram page, again, come tomorrow night before the event starts, we'll post a picture with all of our picks on there as well. So that's the way we're going to do that. All right, let's start with the first fight on the card. Chance Recontor versus Kyle Stewart. Kyle Stewart coming in late replacement. However, he's coming in as a favorite. Last second opponent change for Recontor, and Kyle Stewart's coming in, and he's at a minus 170. I do not know enough about either one of these gentlemen. I'm going to lean with the odds makers here and say that, you know, maybe Kyle Stewart, but Chance Recontor has been training for this fight on this night for a while now. So he's got a full camp. I don't know what kind of shape Kyle Stewart's coming in. I would just lean towards the odds makers on this one at the minus 170. Next, you got Jeff Neal versus Bilal Muhammad. Now, Jeff Neal is coming off a performance that really sort of, I guess you would say, shine a light on his development and skill coming off a fight against a very tough, very gritty Frank Camacho. And he looked fantastic in that fight. That being said, they're giving him a big test here in Bilal Muhammad. And I think Bilal Muhammad is coming in at an underdog, which if he is, let me look at this real quick. He is. He's coming in at plus 150. I'm going to, Muhammad finds ways to win Jeffrey Neal showed a great skill set against Frank Camacho, but Camacho is not Bilal Muhammad. And at plus 150, I think there's some real value here. This will be a test to see whether or not Jeff Neal is, in fact, the real deal. You know, Bilal Muhammad's a seasoned veteran. He's been in the UFC for a while. He's had some big ups and a couple big downs. But he's on the, I feel like he's on the comeback spot. Plus 150 is good value on him. I'm going to go ahead and throw some money towards Bilal Muhammad on this one. Dennis Bermudez versus T. Edwards. Now, this is the fight of all the fights on the card that's got me the most confused outside of the Cowboy Cerrone Alex Hernandez fight. Dennis Bermudez, you know, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, there was some making the argument that he was getting overshadowed for a title shot in the featherweight division. The guy rattled off 8 wins in a row and then has just alternated wins and losses since then. He seems to be having a little bit tougher of a time in both being finished and getting finishes lately. T. Edwards is coming in at a minus 130 favorite. He's got knockout power, and I think that's where that minus 130 is coming in. He just has not faced the caliber of competition that Dennis Bermudez has, and I feel like just based off of strength of schedule, I think Dennis Bermudez should win this fight. However, a loss here for Bermudez would essentially seal the deal on him ever being able to get a UFC title shot. I think it would just be absolutely career destroying for him if he gets beat in this. He's not going to see any sort of featherweight action on a main card for a long time, let alone get a title shot if he loses this fight. This is the fight he is supposed to win, and this will be a good test to see whether or not he has what it takes to hang out in the upper end of the division, because he should handle a newcomer like this. Bermudez is coming in at plus 110. I'm going to lean Bermudez on this fight. He should win this fight. It's a fight that he should win unless he is on the decline. Mario Bautista versus Corey Sandhagen. Bautista is a super late replacement. Sandhagen is a super heavy favorite here. There's not much money. There's not many opportunities to be had here. Sandhagen's at a minus 540. The over-under is at a round and a half. I don't know anything about this Bautista kid, and he's coming in last second. Maybe a stab at the under a round and a half, but that's it. I wouldn't take anything more than that. And there's no money to be made on Sandhagen at minus 540. Batista's a plus 395. I just don't know enough about him to say risk any sort of money on that. Maybe a half unit stab if you're feeling froggy, but I don't know if I'd even do that. I'm just going to lean Sandhagen, but I would just avoid this fight. Alonzo Menifield versus Vinicius Moreira. You know, I'm torn about this fight a little bit. I know I said I wasn't, but I think Moreira has a way better chance at plus 225 than, you know, the odds makers are giving him. Menifield's coming in minus 275. And that's... you know, both of these guys have the ability to finish fights, and the over-under is on a round and a half. I feel like this is probably going to go under a round and a half, so I'm willing to lean on the under a round and a half for this fight. Next up, we've got Joanne Calderwood versus Arianne Lipsky. Now, we've said before in the past, you know, we don't bet on women's fights. They're just too unpredictable. With the odds on this fight, though, you got Calderwood's coming at a significant underdog. She's plus 160. I would say, like, she has the ability to, I guess you would say, sneak out victories. And she ekes them out pretty regularly, and she does so by finish. And then Lipsky is a very accomplished striker and has knockout power. I think the play here, if you're going to play it, would be the under 2.5, and that's coming in at plus 160. I could see there being a choke from Calderwood or a stoppage from Lipsky in this fight. I, you know, maybe lean Calderwood, but I'm a stronger lean towards the under 2.5. I feel like that might be the play there. All right, next up is the fight that I think is probably the most polarizing on this card. You got Cowboy Cerrone taking on Alex Hernandez, and Hernandez has looked very good in the two fights that he's had in the UFC. He came out and bum rushed Beneil Dariush and took him out, handled business, and then he looked very good and dominant against Olivier Aubin-Mercier, which is saying a lot because Aubin-Mercier is a tough out for anybody, and he looked really good. Cerrone says that he's rededicated, he's repositioned, he's refocused. He wants one more shot at the lightweight belt before he rides off into the sunset. And Hernandez thinks that he's going to come in and catapult himself off of Cowboy's name and into title contention. I think he has a real shot of doing that. My reservation in this has come in the fact that Cowboy Cerrone has already beaten a version of Alex Hernandez in Rick Story. If you look at both the body build, makeup, and fight style of Rick Story and Alex Hernandez, they are carbon copies of one another. And we all know the highlight reel combination that was the knockout of Rick Story. If Cowboy can avoid the early rush, avoid the body kicks, and not get wrestle death, I think he can win this fight. Now, he's coming in at an underdog, which is weird. He's at plus 160. I think that Hernandez is probably going to win this fight. I'm going to lean Cerrone just because, again, strength of schedule, amount of fights, and just, it might be too much too soon for Alexander Hernandez. He's talking a lot of stuff. He's saying he's going to murk Cowboy and... If you watch the press conference, they got real heated with each other. Cerrone typically, he's real 50-50 when he gets angry. It turns into a situation where if he's super angry, you can frustrate him and get in his head and he shuts it down. Or you can frustrate him and make him angry and then you get a Miles Jury style fight or a Mike Perry style fight where he's out there trying to snatch limbs, break legs, and do everything else. I think that Cerrone, I'm hoping he's the right kind of motivated here. Coming in at plus 160, a guy that's got 40-plus fights under the Zuffa banner, I feel like that's worth a stab. I feel like he's earned the respect of the wager. I'm not leaning. I'm going to put a unit on Cerrone. I've talked myself into it. Next, we got Carl Roberson versus Glover Teixeira. I like this fight a lot. I think Teixeira is on the fringe of irrelevancy as far as title contention goes and the light heavyweight division. Carl Roberson, however, is on the up and up, and he's at a plus 100. If he can avoid Teixeira's boxing and look crisp and use his movement and start chopping up Teixeira's legs with kicks, I think he can win this fight. Plus 100 underdog, I'm throwing a unit on Carl Roberson here. Rachel Ostovich versus Paige VanZant. This is going to be an entertaining fight. It'll be an entertaining fight because, one, it'll be competitive, and two, for the other obvious reasons. It will be an entertaining fight. And I would just avoid wagering on this one and just enjoy the fight. Let's go with that. Just enjoy the fight. Leaning Ostovich at a plus 135, just leaning towards her. VanZant has struggled with wrestlers in the past, and Ostovich is a good wrestler. VanZant has the striking advantage for sure, but she's got that married life going on now. And there's a thing about, fighters that have kids, fighters that are newlyweds, they usually end up dropping a fight or two after that happens because you're just so damn happy and everything just seems to be going so good that hunger, seems to just dissipate a little bit. Don't like betting on fighters that just recently had kids. Don't like betting on fighters that just recently got married. Paige VanZant has been gone for a long time. She left her gym. She's not at Team Alpha Male anymore. It looks like she's training primarily with her husband. I just don't necessarily know if that's what it takes to be the upper echelon of the strawweight division. And realistically, both of these women are probably fighting for gatekeeper status. Ostovich has the worst record, but like I said, she's really good on the ground. and Van Zandt is it's a wrestler versus striker matchup. So what this is boiling down to, and I think that Ostovic should get a little bit more of a push. We'll see what happens here. Plus 135. It's worth a lean in her direction, but I like I said, not betting on women's fights. We'll just go ahead and avoid that one. Joseph Benavidez versus Dustin Ortiz. This is a good fight. Last time they fought, Joseph Benavidez won, and they have both looked fantastic since that fight, with Ortiz only dropping two fights in the last 4 years and Benavidez only losing once. For the longest time, I thought, you know, the best flyweight in the world not named Demetrius Johnson was Joseph Benavidez. Then Henry Cejudo came along. I would love to see Benavidez win this fight and then him challenge Cejudo for the belt. But we'll see what happens with this. I'm not overly sure what's going to happen with this fight. Dustin Ortiz is coming in at a plus 185. You know, like I said, Benavidez already has the mental win of having beaten him before. And that plays a big factor in a fighter's mind. Now, we'll see how this plays out. Ortiz has one punch knockout power. Benavidez has like two punch knockout power. I'm going to lean Ortiz here, but I think Benavidez wins this fight. There's a lot of underdogs here. Like these are very well-made fights, and they're very evenly matched. So there's a lot of guys coming in as underdogs where realistically, if there was more money being played on it, it'd be closer to a pick'em than anything else. And this is one of those fights where it should probably be a little bit closer to a pick'em. I'm just going to pass on it. I don't have a lean one way or the other. I feel like Benavidez is going to win it. But he's a minus 225. There's no money to be made there. Ortiz has a good shot. It may be a lean towards him, but I wouldn't blame you for just passing on this one. Flyweights are tough. Next, we got the soon-to-be lightweight champ, or I think, in my opinion, the one guy that has the ability to give Khabib trouble in Gregor Gillespie. He's taking on Yancy Medeiros. Gregor is the real deal. He's got everything it takes to be a champion. From his mindset to his skill set, the guy is the absolute complete package. This should be a long night, or rather short night, for Yancy Medeiros. Medeiros has struggled gas tank in the past, but he is he's a brawler. There's no doubt about that, and he has a puncher's chance. But he should not be able to withstand the pace that Gillespie's going to put on him. And the fact that, you know, Gillespie's not fighting top 10 guys right now is frustrating, but it's coming. And it's going to be the real deal when it gets here. And I think that, you know, looking at what comes next for him after this, I don't know where you put him in the 155 hunt. He's 32. He's getting up there. If he's going to make a push, this is the time to do it. You know, the guy's 12-0. But if you look at who he's fought in the UFC, you know, Glaco Franca, Andrew Holbrook, Jason Gonzalez, Jordan Rinaldi, Vince Pichel, and now Yancy Medeiros, he's fighting guys that are all in the same cluster. They're all in that group of, like, if you're looking at lightweights, the guys that are in like the 30, I would say, like, if you were to rank him out that high, like the 27 to 38 range is where he's fighting guys. And he needs to be facing top 15 guys. He needs to be facing top 10 guys. You have to get a realistic metric on how good this guy is, what his ceiling is, by putting him up against quality competition. Now, maybe it's because nobody wants to fight him, and for that, I wouldn't blame them, because he's an absolute animal. But I really think that the play needs to be, if you're his management team, you need to be pushing for top 10 guys. There's a ton of guys in lightweight. Start pushing for top 10 matchups. There's a couple guys that are out there. Again, I don't know if you can get anybody to take a fight with him, but you definitely need to start trying to push. And if you're the UFC, this is a good guy to push behind. He's not hideous. He's got a good personality. He's well-spoken. He seems to be very intelligent. He's got a clean record. It definitely seems like the guy that you could get behind. So I don't know why or what the delay is in the push, but hopefully after this performance on ESPN, it'll be a good showcase for him. Like, go out there, put on a show against Yancy Medeiros, and then get that push. He's coming in as a huge favorite. currently sitting at -520. You know, over under is at a round and a half. I would just avoid this fight altogether. Co-main event, you've got Greg Hardy versus you've got Greg Hardy taking on Alan Crowder. I don't know enough about Alan Crowder. I've watched Greg Hardy's fights just basically because I hope he loses every time he fights. We made a post on the Instagram page. We're going to be making a play on Alan Crowder here, even though he's at +395 and is probably going to lose this fight. Going to make a play on this, and if he wins, going to take the winnings from the play and then Venmo it to him or Cash App to him if I can get him, if we can get him on the show. Go ahead and send him the winnings. Greg Hardy is not a good person. I don't have anything nice to say about him, so I'm not going to give him any more airtime than the fact that he should probably win this fight. But if Alan Crowder pulls out the upset at +395, I'll be sending him all the winnings from the bet we make on him. Over-unders at a round and a half. Over 1.5 is coming in at +245, which might not be a bad idea. Greg Hardy is going to blitz him immediately, and he's going to try to put a pace on him. In the event that Alan Crowder can survive the first round, he's got a real shot in the second and the third because Greg Hardy is going to blow his wad here in the first round. Under a round and a half is coming in at -305. You know, you could maybe make a stab on Crowder. You know, it's heavyweights, two heavy guys throwing heavy hands. You never know what can happen. And over a round and a half at +245, it's enticing, but it's a trap. Avoid that. I don't think it's going to hit. And if it does, I'll stand corrected. All right, main event, Henry Cejudo versus TJ Dillashaw. If TJ Dillashaw can make the weight, he wins the fight. And guess what? He made the weight. I think the play is Dillashaw. Here, just based, you know, there's not a lot of people in recent memory that have looked better than TJ Dillashaw. He has evolved as a fighter, you know, in ways that you wouldn't think possible, and he learns from every mistake that he makes. The only person that's even comparable to that is Henry Cejudo. It's hard to go against an Olympian. It really is. It's really hard to go against an Olympian that won a gold medal, but they're not wrestling. And unless Cejudo comes out there and uses his Olympic wrestling to wrestle and control TJ Dillashaw for five rounds, I don't think he's going to win this fight. I don't know what the play is here as far as who's going to win. I do like the over-under on rounds, though, coming in at 4.5. I like the under 4.5. TJ Dillashaw has shown a propensity to finish fights lately, and Cejudo seems to have some bad blood in him. 4.5, you know, rounds, that's a long time. I mean, we're talking about guys fighting for 22.5 minutes and nobody getting finished. And both these guys have high finish rates. So let's go with the play being the under 4.5, leaning on Dillashaw to win. Wouldn't be surprised at a Cejudo upset, but under 4.5 would be the play on that one. That's what I'll be playing. All right, guys, that does it for our picks for UFC on ESPN1. If you are interested in getting our NFL picks for this weekend, we are going to make those Patreon only. Go to patreon.com/ Fistful of Cash. Fistful's got one L because we spell it right. Fistful of Cash. Patreon.com/ Fistful of Cash. Encourage you guys, go on there, sign up, become a patron, support the show, support what we're doing. If you like the content, you've gotten anything out of it, you know, whether you're in it for the free picks or you're just in it for the debate or just the dialogue or something to listen to, I don't know, maybe my voice puts the baby to sleep, whatever it is that you use the podcast for, if you enjoy our content, you consume it and you want to support it and keep it going, you know, not to sound like, you know, church, but would love it if you guys would go to Patreon. You know, there's other membership options there available. You know, we do have the one, it's just $10 a month. You get 5 additional picks each and every weekend. So that's 20 picks over the course of the month at 10 bucks. That's 50 cents a pick. It's really hard to beat. Nobody else does that. But if that's not it and that's not your speed and you just want to get on there and say, hey, you know, just appreciate the content, appreciate enjoying you guys or whatever, you know, you can make a donation to the show of any amount. And it doesn't even have to be reoccurring. It can be a one-time donation. You want to go on there, you think the show's worth 50 cents, throw 50 cents at it. You think it's worth more, throw more. Or if you don't want to, that's fine too. We're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep making the show. Follow us on social media. You know, get on Instagram. That's where we're the most active. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, but we don't use those as often. Instagram seems to be a better medium, one, to interact with you guys, and two, to interact with just about the entire community. So if you would, you know, follow us on there, Fistful of Cash Podcast on Instagram, at Fistful C on Twitter. And then Tuesdays, the Tuesday shows, we're moving those over, like we said, to that new dialogue debate style. So if you have any suggestions, any topics, any scores you want settled between you and your buddies, or just something you've always wondered, anything at all, you know, sports or otherwise, preferably sports, but we'll take anything. Fistful of Cash Pod, Fistful of Cash Pod at gmail.com. Go ahead and send them that way. And, you know, if you send something in that via email there or Instagram or whatever it is, it will get featured on the show. We will use it. Everything is going to just, we're compiling a list and we're just working our way through the list as the suggestions come in. You guys have been great so far in that. So continue to do so, please. And lastly, guys, if you have not left a review on iTunes, please do so. Go to iTunes, look us up, click those stars, and then leave a written review. That helps a lot with the metrics with iTunes. It helps a lot in our rankings, and it helps us get seen by other people. So when people go on there, they start looking for sports podcasts to listen to, something new, something fresh. The more reviews we have, the better off we are, the more it puts us in that limelight, where people can see what we're doing. We've got a new partnership we're getting ready to announce next week, so that'll be cool. And in the interim, guys, you know, take advantage of our offer with Saving Grace CBD oil. That's still going active. Cash 15 will get you 15% off your entire order at savinggraceoil.com. That stuff really does work wonders. Big fan of Jack and what they're doing there. Outside of that, guys, that's really it. You know, we do appreciate the iTunes reviews. We do appreciate you guys that take advantage of the sponsor offers. All of those things help us out tremendously. They help the show out, and we appreciate the far-reaching range of the show. I try to do it when I can remember to, and I do like to give shout-outs to, you know, the various cities and countries that support the show, and we have a lot of those. It still amazes me how something like this is international. It's absolutely wild. So, from the Tuesday show, top countries, obviously the United States, then the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Spain, Ireland, and Germany. Top cities, the Bronx, New York, Honolulu, Hawaii, Las Vegas, Spring, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Miami, Florida, Ashburn, Virginia, Seattle, Washington, and Beaverton, Oregon. Appreciate all you guys very much. Thank you so much for supporting the show. It really means a lot to us. And, you know, like I said, like, subscribe, share with a friend. If you know anybody that you think they might like the show, whether they bet or not, just go ahead and, you know, share the show. And I really appreciate that. All right. Until Tuesday, guys, we'll be back with a new episode of the Tuesday show. Good luck, everybody, on this weekend. Patreon subscribers, check your emails starting first thing tomorrow. The picks will start coming in there. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, go ahead and get on that. Patreon.com/Fistful of Cash. Thanks, guys.